On behalf of Leinberg Information Services, welcome to Strategies for Mitigating Taxation of Concentrated Low Basis Positions. I'm Bob Keebler, and I'll be your host. In today's volatile stock market, we're seeing more and more clients concerned when they have large concentrations of stock in one company. And there are 8 different strategies we can use to mitigate the taxation as we move away from those concentrated positions. Now, one strategy is, in today's 15% tax rate, we can sell and reinvest. Now, remember, some of your clients are going to be at a lower rate because they're still in the 15% bracket. But for the wealthier clients you represent, they'll be in a 15% federal bracket. They sell and they reinvest. That's not a bad idea with the 15% capital gains rate. There's a very good chance that rate goes up at some point in time in the future. We're also looking at another technique which we'll explore, is short sales against the box. And when you sell short against the box, what you're doing, you hold 100,000 shares of XYZ stock, and you go ahead and you sell 100,000 shares short. So now you are in a perfectly economic position. The problem with going short against the box, and this is a 2-hour discussion in and of itself, is that by the end of January, you have to take that position off for a period of 60 days. Now, you can always buy protective put options. You own the stock, you buy put options. Maybe you just buy what we call black swan puts. The stock's at 50, you buy puts at 25. They hardly cost you anything, but at least if you get totally wiped out, you're going to have something left. And the put option is basically an insurance policy. One of the favorite ways historically of diversifying a concentrated stock position has been charitable remainder trusts. In the charitable remainder trust, I take my concentrated position, I drop it into a charitable trust, and that transfer is tax-free. Then, under IRC Section 664, when I sell the stock, because the trust is tax-exempt, there is no taxation on the sale of stock. I'm now diversified. I can now diversify my portfolio. Later, as we work through this, what you're going to find is later as we work through this, you're going to be able to diversify within the CRT, but then when you take distributions out of the CRT, those would be taxed at long-term capital gain. Now, you're going to have to run the math, because CRTs right now might not be the place to be if we think rates are going up, because later, 5 years from now, when you take dollars out of the charitable trust, it will be taxed, those dollars will be taxed at the current tax rate, not at today's tax rate of 15%. Part of what has to go into this equation is that this 3.8% surtax is on the horizon, the healthcare surtax. Today the rate is 15%, tomorrow the rate is going to be 23.8. We have to be cognizant of that when we're designing a strategy. Now, the charitable remainder trust has been a favorite for many years. The real issue with the charitable remainder trust is, in your heart of hearts, you have to be able to come to terms with that when you die, the money in that portfolio, the money in that charitable trust, is going to pass to your favorite charity and not to your family. Cashless collars, what I'm talking about with cashless collars is basically I have 100,000 shares of McDonald's. I have 100,000 shares of Pepsi, Coke. I go out and I go to the desk at one of the big brokerage firms and basically design a transaction where I'm buying 100,000 put options and selling 100,000 call options. That's in essence what a collar is. These are done simultaneously. They're tied together. The beauty of the collar is I've created a floor and a ceiling. I've very much protected my position. The bad part of the collar is you fall subject to the straddle rules. When you eventually have to unwind that collar, you're going to have to work through the straddle rules, which are extremely difficult. Now, monetizing collars. In a monetizing collar, what I'm doing is I do the collar, I create a floor and a ceiling. The stock's at 100, I buy a put at 80, I write a call at 120 or 130. That's now I've created my hedge. But the real important thing here is that in the monetizing collar, I then borrow against that position. I borrow against that position, I have to pay interest on that borrowing, of course, but then I can diversify from there. Now, finally, variable forward sales. Somewhat like a monetizing collar, except I agree at the end of the term, after I've monetized this collar, I agree at the end of the term that I will deliver a specified number of shares to the counterparty if I decide not to buy myself out of the collar or out of the variable forward sale. I will just deliver shares at a future date to pay for the funds I received up front. One of the differences between the variable forward and the monetizing collar is the built-in interest expense on a variable forward is not currently tax deductible. Finally, and I've actually done all these transactions in one way, shape, or form for clients. Finally is the exchange fund. In the exchange fund, you represent an executive. She has $2 million worth of company stock. Let's call it General Electric. And she comes to you and goes, I'd really like to diversify a little bit, but I don't want to pay any tax. She puts the General Electric into an exchange fund with 100 other people in the same situation. Everybody puts $2 million in. Now the portfolio is $200 million, and she gets back shares of this partnership. Now, these are difficult to structure because of the anti-diversification rules under Section 351 of the code. Wall Street firms put these together all the time. And you're going to have to read the prospectus carefully to see how they're working around those rules, but they have very highly talented lawyers and CPAs dotting I's and crossing T's. But basically, the beauty of the exchange fund is now instead of owning one stock, I own 50 or I own 100. The bad news is many people believe in theory that the exchange funds will receive a disproportionate amount of stocks that will underperform. I've not seen any evidence to support that, but it's something for you to think about and ask the person bringing you into the deal about that. You want to make sure that the portfolio managers are very, very carefully analyzing what stocks they will accept in an exchange fund. Those are the 8 basic ways to diversify. Again, selling and reinvesting, which in today's environment may be very attractive. Shorting against the box. Again, the problem is you have to lift that for 60 days a year. Protective put options, which are just an insurance policy. Now, by the same token, you could get a little bit of risk management by writing calls, but in the long run, theoretically, that is never a good strategy. Charitable remainder trust, just the call writing doesn't give you enough protection. The charitable remainder trust, this has been my favorite strategy historically, especially for clients that want to diversify and have a large charitable intention anyway. It makes sense. Today's interest rate environment, many people believe it makes it more difficult, but if you're doing charitable remainder unit trust, you should be okay. Cashless collars. In a cashless collar, a monetizing collar, a variable forward sale, these are all cousins of each other. And I'm basically creating a floor and a ceiling when I enter into these transactions. There's a lot more that has been written on this, but again, it's those are 3 of the 8 ways. And finally, the exchange fund, which I just spoke about. In the exchange fund, you're basically, your executive along with several hundred other executives are coming together and transferring stock into a highly concentrated, their highly concentrated stock into a portfolio, a partnership portfolio, and they get back shares of the partnership. And basically, provided they stay in that partnership for 7 years, then they can take some stock out of that partnership. In the meantime, they hold partnership shares. Again, take a hard look at this. If you have somebody with a concentrated position, I really encourage you to work with them, to encourage them to move away from that concentrated position and think about the people at Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Enron, who should have done this. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us today.